welcome and thank you for joining us. Unbelievable. What a week, huh? Nice comeback on Friday, but wow. How's that for a 4,000-point swing? 4,000-point swing. Thursday to Friday. Down 2,100, down up 2,000. Unbelievable. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Crazy indeed. What are we going to do? Anybody going to travel, et cetera, et cetera? We'll talk some more about that today, and I want to talk about what you want to talk about, you know, regarding the markets. There's a billion opinions out there, right? And everybody's trying to be a hero. Not everyone. No, that's actually not true. Not everyone's trying to be a hero. It's just a thing where people attempt to be right no matter what they said 5 seconds before, right? It's a typical Jim Cramer where maybe he's bearish in the morning and then market goes up, so then he's a bull in the afternoon. It's typical. He's not alone. And certainly being cautious through this makes sense because we don't know. But we do have some indications, and I'll talk, you know, again, hopefully you don't take this as Pollyanna, because I'm not taking this as big, you know, Pollyanna thing either. Yes, I'm planning trips. Yes, we're trying to figure stuff out. But we're also open to the idea that you have to cancel because it is bad. And it also, again, I'll probably say this a couple times today, it's not to be insensitive to the fact that people are getting sick. They are. Some are dying. And people in business are being disrupted in a big way. A very big way. I know that we went out to dinner last night and the restaurant was full. But the comedian we went to go see canceled. So I don't know. I don't know what events are going to be acted out and what aren't, right? So we're going to play it by ear. What places are going to be closed? Now Apple stores are closed, right? For 2 weeks. Just trying to slow things down. It's probably rational. And again, as we think about this, though, we also have to recognize that there's an awful lot of politics. And I'll hold that thought. I'm not going to say what you think I'm going to say. There's politics as well as legal that people have to do. And just plain old bad image. Now, what I mean by that is the politics are of everything. If you are an elected official, you must overreact pretty much by law to everything that happens. That's what you have to do, or you won't be reelected. You have to go crazy. For example, we think about Katrina. Did Bush do anything wrong? No, it was a Louisiana guy. Okay, but A, Bush was a Republican. The Louisiana governor was a Democrat. So he's called up, said, hey, you know, we're good. We got it covered. Well, he didn't have it covered. But who got the blame? Bush. So, and I'm sure there was some stuff he should have done, right? But the point is we must completely overreact. For example, the governor may feel completely safe to get on a plane. But he must shut down schools, gatherings, what have you. And we must make resources available for whatever. Have to. That's the political side. Not just the Donald Trump hating side. That's the political side. We have to overreact. We must do that. Whether you're the mayor, the dog catcher, the governor, okay? They have to overreact. It's a rule. So number one, we have to overreact to everything. Number two, you also have a circumstance out there legally where if you don't shut down and somebody gets sick and dies, you don't think the ambulance chasers are coming? Of course they are. And if people die because you wouldn't let people go home because they were sick, that doesn't look good either. People don't want to go do business with you. So there's a lot of overreaction going on. out of necessity, because we don't know. And let's not pretend we do know, because this weird virus seems to be weird. Again, it doesn't frighten me. But I have to acknowledge that it's really seems to be different everywhere. Like, China doesn't care about human beings, did the crappiest job on the planet, and it seems to have stopped spreading at the most densely populated place in the planet. But we shouldn't have gatherings of more than 50 people. Huh? People are afraid to get on an airplane that have, like, the best air filters possible. Huh? And yet you go to Italy, and it's like, I don't think I want to walk around there either. It's in shutdown. They can't figure it out. Iran people are dying like crazy. And, of course, we don't know the data because it's Iran. They just, you know, they're a bunch of nutty mullahs. So we can't get good information there. It seems, though, it's different in other places. In Japan and Korea, where we think we can count on the numbers and all, it seems to have peaked, and they're very densely populated. Good news. So again, we don't know what's going to happen, and we'll see what happens in the markets as the week transpires. But this reaction, we have to understand, is, I think, very much is very legal or political. You have to overreact. Have to. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go to Jim. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks for talking about the current coronavirus problem and market panics.
Yeah, betcha.
I wanted to ask, in past stock market panics that don't have a strong underlying financial reasons, like the undercapitalization of banks that happened in years past, or in the mortgage loan problem that had a financial problem associated with it, how quickly the market comes back and gets back to above bear market territory?
Oh, gosh, that's a fair question, and everyone is different. That's okay, so it's not going to be typical. And human nature is this. This looks like 1987 or 92 or whatever people put in their little charts and graphs and blah, blah, blah about, okay? It's basically numerology, right? Because on March 9th of, well, actually, I was going to talk about this week, 3-9 of 2009, the stock market bottomed, right? At 666 on the S&P. And then it was up 45% in 90 days, and the news continued to be terrible for several months. Remember that? All the way through, the unemployment rate kept rising, 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 rising. It was terrible. And the market kept rising, 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 rising. So it's hard to say, because then at that point, you're saying from the peak, which occurred in 2007, November, all the way through 08 until October, the market had gone down 20% to bear market territory. And then it went another 20% immediately in October, right, in all that panic. But it didn't bounce back. What did bounce back immediately, though, were the bonds or the credit markets. So if it's credit concern, that's the first thing that has to come back. The second part of your question, though, or I should say, getting back to your original question, it is not every time is going to be different. So we do not know what the economic impact of this is. We're still guessing. But the market will be guessing as soon as this peaks. That's my opinion. It's not based on how quickly historically it has. It's just saying in a virus, we never have reacted to a virus before, okay? I mean, what was it? 10,000 people had died in the United States of swine flu, H1N1? This is 10 years ago. It's not a long time, okay? This is under Obama, so we have a different media, different apologists, okay? They're not after him. They're apologizing for it, but they didn't declare a national emergency for 6 months. And it was around for a whole year, and 10,000 people had died before they're doing anything. So it is really a different reaction this time, and the market didn't react to it at all. Commerce continued. It's just that people were dying. Now we have people that don't die at a very high rate, but we are reacting as if they were. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't think you can look at this and say normally this and this and this happens, except to say when we get to a peak of panic, we're near a bottom. We saw that on Friday, okay? I'm not saying that's the bottom, but we sure screamed higher off of a panic. And so now we're seeing, we'll wait and see what happens next week if it stabilizes. And I think that news is going to be coming from this standpoint. Does it look like we're getting a handle on it? Does it look like there is an end to our shutting everything down? If it's a long end versus a short end, that's going to dictate more downside. If it looks like we're going to be over the next month or two, I think the market accepts that that it's going to take a couple of months to get things up and running.
Yeah, I'm a physician, and I agree with sort of the couple of months analysis. I think we'll see the number of new cases of coronavirus start to level off within a couple of months, because public are so concerned about this virus that they're going to self restrict how close they are to other people and use good personal hygiene. So, and then the strength of our healthcare system is going to find who's infected and inform those people. So I'm very optimistic that we're going to see a tapering off of the new cases of coronavirus. And then I think the news media hysteria will back off at that point. It'll become less of an issue. And then public confidence will be restored, travel and so forth. Those economies will pick up again.
Now, you're saying in the long run, like a couple months out, but in the short run, we should see an explosion higher of cases, correct?
I think it's been kind of going up. I think it's been, in the United States, been going up kind of in a linear fashion, not an exponential fashion of new cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's already being blunted, the number of new cases, it's going to start decreasing the rate of increase. I think within 2 months.
Gotcha. Yes. Yeah. I hope so. And that would be the pattern everywhere it's been. So, you know, except we can't measure that, say, in Italy yet or Iran. But I don't know that the United States has any comparison whatsoever to Iran. Just set it aside. You know, their hygiene, their hospital, their healthcare system, everything is just like, you know, doesn't exist compared to the Western world. So it is a different ball game, but still, you know, Italy is much more like us and in that sense, and it still is expanding pretty rapidly.
Yes.
So we'll see, but the pattern has been there for winter. It's been out for a while, like South Korea is peaking. It's clearly peaking there. And Japan is, Japan's a marvel to me. I don't get it. There's 30 million people in Tokyo, and there's only a few hundred cases in Tokyo. That is amazing. I'm not sure, because they didn't go into lockdown. They of course, were more cautious, but there's no lockdown there like there is in Italy. It's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Different virus in different places. Yeah. Go ahead.
Hopefully Americans can kind of adopt some of the Japanese personal hygiene methods of social distancing and not touching and do those things so that the number of new cases starts to taper off.
I think that's happening already, don't you? Really?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we're still hugging our clients when they come in, but when people have a cold, they don't. Yeah, I mean, we've always done that. You know, it's like, nope, I'm not going to shake your hand. I'm not doing. I mean, that was last year, you know, and before. I'm just kind of dealing with a cold. Now the cold goes, we're staying home because we don't know, right? We're staying home. We're just staying away from people. And that's better behavior. I think it's going to change the flu season in the future, don't you?
Well, I'm sure it's going to sort of attenuate it. I've looked at the flu statistics, mm-hmm. and there's been a sharp drop in the number of new influenza cases in the United States.
Fascinating.
And I think it's going to be really truncated this year because of the personal hygiene stuff going on.
It makes an awful lot of sense. And you know, and we're also finding out, because everybody is, you know how we go through life and it's like, here's what I know. Traveling on airplanes is really, you know, you're going to catch the cold from the kid three rows back on the other side of the plane. No, you're not. That's just not true. Because they've got these great filters, actually. So the air in there is filtering out a lot of the micro, it's a HIPAA filter, correct? And this is crazy. It's like the best air you can have. And so I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that. I really didn't, you know. Of course I want to wipe down the tray. Not because of the coronavirus. I want to because somebody's been sneezing and sniffling and wiping their nose and using the tray that my hand's now on. And then I scratch my eye and I get whatever they have, right? This makes sense. And I think people are going to do that. I wouldn't be surprised that they pass out wipes as you walk on an airplane, you know. And we're just generally going to be healthier because of that.
Yeah.
This isn't going to stop because of this. This is going to be our behavior. And I think that in the future, we're going to have less people dying of the flu because we're more cautious. We're not afraid, just smart. Wash your hands.
Absolutely.
It's not a hard thing to do, right? And I don't like being sick. You know, you know what I mean? It's not like, well, that's a big statement. But you know, some people just like, yeah, you know, I'm sick all the time. Well, why don't you do something about it or try to? I get that. But anyway. Jim, thank you. I appreciate your analysis. That's great.
Could I ask one more thing?
Absolutely.
It's a real difficult one. The Saudis and Russians are flooding the market or increasing production in order to drive down oil prices to hurt our shale oil production in the United States. And with Trump's decision to fill the National Petroleum Reserve and increase demand for U.S. oil, do you think that'll help with stopping the Russians and Saudis from trying that strategy to hurt our oil production in the United States?
It's a good question. I actually think it's a fight between the two because Putin walked away from the table, wouldn't talk to them about cutting back production, wasn't going to. And I think it just really ticked off the Saudis and they said, to heck with you, because we've got the cheapest oil in the world. We can make money at $10 a barrel. You can't. And you will die, and we can outlast you. And so I think they're trying to bring Russia back to the table to both cut, because there's nothing they can do in the United States. We can't, you know, it's not going to be the amount of oil, but we'll more than produce enough for us. And we may not be exporters. We may end up just using what we have. But the reality is there's too much oil in the world. They can't drive people out. The only natural market forces can. And part of that natural market force that people really need to be aware of is how much more we get out of a barrel of oil. A barrel of energy is the way I would phrase it. Technology has allowed the cars to go further, the planes to fly with less, all of the things that use less, even though there's more economic activity. And we're on the cusp of very, very low-cost solar and who knows what else, algae or whatever other stuff we read about, and even fusion. So these are the things that are going to end up in the long run, in my opinion, keeping oil in a very low place. And the Saudis are not going to drive them out of business. They can't, because the infrastructure is already here to pump the oil. And why would we bring it all the way around across the world? Because marginally, nobody is going to survive on $20 oil anymore. It needs to be in the 30s as a base case cost, even for the Saudis. So we can see temporary dips to that. But, Jim, I don't see this as those being able to at all. They tried it, actually. So this is not new. They tried it, the Saudis did, a couple of years ago, and it did not work. It doesn't work because these are long-lived projects. It would take years of them keeping prices artificially low in order to impact the existing production. Okay?
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jim. Have a great day. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye now. And our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to another Jim. Jim.
Hey, Dave, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing today?
Fine, thanks.
Good.
I got kind of an interesting, what I think is a cool connection to make. Okay, now Black Monday was October 19th, 1987, right?
Yes, it was.
That happens to be my financial advisor's birthday. She was 15 years old at the time. She's Spanish. She was living in Spain. Huh. Okay, now I heard that the worst day for stocks since then was Thursday, March 12th, which happens to be my birthday.
Well, that is kind of ironic.
And I'm 74, so anyway, I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool. That is interesting. Isn't
well,
it interesting,
thing,
too, that as of now, right, as of now, you know, the market, the bull market died on its the day after its 11th anniversary, right?
Right.
And we'll see what happens. But here we are. March 9th is another big day, another change day. We flipped directions. We'll see what happens. Maybe we're working on a new market bottom in the middle of March.
Yeah. Well, I was wanting to get Kansas City Southern, and they had been up pretty high, like 160 or something like that. And they had come down, and so I had a buy order at 120. So I called in, and at the time it was like 124. So I changed the buy order from 120 to 110. I called in, I guess, about 10 o'clock Thursday, and they told me Kansas City Southern was like 118. I figured, no problem, 8 points. So then Veronica called like 30 minutes later. We bought Kansas City Southern, so...
Yeah. Wow. Yes. No, it's we saw some unusual pricing this week. I mean, it really did. When you see panic like that, I'll talk about it a little bit at the top of the next hour because we're going to run out of time here, Jim.
Wasn't it down like 23.52 on Thursday?
Yeah, I didn't get the exact tick down, but yeah, we were. I mean, obviously, at the very end of trading, watching it being down 2,100 points was a miserable feeling. It really was, but it turned out to be capitulation.
Well, you know, I kind of feel bad in a way because I don't feel miserable. So,
yeah.
I mean, everybody else is crying. I mean, there's financial, there's a virus, there's all sorts of, you know, weird stuff, you know, so.
Well, I think it's this, Jim, and it's not that I understand you're not being heartless because you're saying this is temporary price changes,
no,
and it is.
Whatever happens, happens.
It is. And that's not a bad place to be. I'm just saying from a standpoint of people that are actually living in fear, that their retirement plan won't work. And I don't mean that they haven't accumulated enough, that they now, because of the losses, are afraid they can't continue to pay their bills.
See, that's the thing with planning in life. You really never know.
Exactly. And I don't think that's a great outlook. And it is a better outlook to be sitting around saying, you know what, we don't know what's going to happen. You don't know. You can't make all of the plans and figure everything out. You can't. But at the same time, what I'm saying is, without some phony baloney, I'm concerned. I'm worried for those folks, and that is what that feeling, that weight is. It's not. It does wear you out. Believe me, I was tired at the end of this week, so no doubt about it. Jim, you can hear the music. I got to roll.
Hang in there.
Thank you, and bye-bye. Thanks for the call. Bye bye. All right, you too hear the music. We're going to talk in the next hour. I'm going to give a little bit of rundown, and I'm sorry to the phone caller that, hey, you hung on for, I don't know, 15 minutes. Come on back, okay? Board's clear. We want to hear from you. And we'll take a break here for Fox News. We'll be right back for hour number two. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. And once again, these are my opinions only, and I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. As well as we may talk positively about a stock, I'm pretty sure I will be talking positively about things like Microsoft, Apple, Google, etc. It doesn't mean you should go own them. We're not here to tell you what to buy, or sell. That's noise. It's not entertainment. It's noise. It's not good for you. It's a very bad idea. It takes us further away from the idea of owning great corporations into trading them. That all of this is short term, and it's not. We all look for the end of this, or should we buy today? Should we buy tomorrow? Is it going to go down more? You don't think we're going to get to this level? Do you think we get? And all of that is just made up numerology. Well, I think we're going to get to the 2200 level on the S&P, and that's where we're going to draw a line in the sand. We got to retest this low, and then we got this. This is a two-thirds retracement here, and we got a double top thingy over here. And this was a head and shoulders doodah. And when we draw the line from here to here, it proves without any doubt that we have no flippin' idea what the heck's going on. But didn't I sound really smart? Wow. It's insane. I mean, it's just absolutely insane. So the only real answer, I don't know. Weird. I know. This is so weird, but I don't know the future. Weird. And a bunch of numerology and charts and graphs isn't going to make it so. This looks like that. And when I impose this over that, or put this chart here, and when I shrink the one from 1 year down to 2 months, it looks exactly like it did in 94. Wow. This is a virus. The last one was a financial collapse. The one before that was whatever it was. Almost always, it's based on overlending. It's a financial crisis, which is why I'd like to give you a couple of just step back overlooks of this week, of what happened. No politics. Hey, if you hate Trump, you're going to think this is political. Sorry about that. And if you love Trump, I'm just talking about the solutions that are coming. In 1 week, we've changed direction markedly on a number of things. Oh, we should have done this. We could have done that. There's going to be that. And we've got a whole media devoted to looking back and figuring out what went wrong and apologizing for all the really great things that the Obama administration did with the swine flu, which was they did nothing. I can't even believe Joe Biden is actually bringing up, wants to talk about the coronavirus and how Trump isn't doing a very good job. Like, okay, wow. You guys did zero. Absolute zero. As thousands of Americans died. Zero. All right, so this is a different deal. Number one, we've got to be looking at this and think about this from the foundational point of this. Where were we 1 month ago? We were literally having discussions about how amazing the jobs numbers were, because they were. We've never seen anything like this, especially this late in a recovery. Especially since all the robots were taking our jobs. I thought, that's what all the smart people told us, all the people that know the future and how that would be, and all the economists who knew we were going to go into recession in 19 for sure. We were talking about record highs in the market, record employment numbers, wages rising. The economy was just unbelievable. That's really fundamentally where we are. Okay? How quickly we get back to that is up in the air. So I get it. Okay? But that's fundamentally where we were 1 month ago. Pretty amazing, huh? Pretty stunning. Now, what has happened since then? Of course, we've become more aware that this virus is here. It can spread very quickly and does in pocketed areas. And it's really, really, really deadly to 80-year-old people, especially if they have any other health problems. That's about all we know, because it seems to spread differently in different places. So we have a whole lot of guessing going on, a whole lot of eyeball views just like staring at the screen, wondering if we can figure it out. So in classic sense, in the correct sense, if you're a politician, as we talked about, you're in business and you don't need lawyers coming around and suing you because somebody got sick or died, you shut down. They did. How long this will last, we don't know. We can all guess. But here's the pivot of the last week. It's really, really, really bad, and we don't know if anybody's got a handle on this at all. Okay? And the media hates Donald Trump, so he's a buffoon and isn't doing anything right. Here's the shift. The biggest shift I saw this week, not talked about, is that the airline industry visited the White House. The bankers The Wall Street bankers visited the White House. You don't think a conversation went something like this when they, after the photo shoot and they kicked everybody out, it went something like this? All right, you guys, what do you need? These markets are not acting normal. Now, then the president turns to somebody who has been on Wall Street, is a Goldman Sachs guy, the Treasury Secretary, who isn't just a political appointment. He actually knows what the heck is going on out there. That's the kind of people that are surrounding the president. Not, well, this is Treasury Secretary Liu who doesn't know what to do. This is not. These are people that were on Wall Street. They got it. These guys know each other. What do you need? How come you're not doing it? We need order out here or the markets can't. We'll give you what you need, but we're going to cut your head off if you don't keep lending. I'm sure they said it in a really nice way. But you do not take back those credit. We'll open the spigot at the Treasury so you have endless flows of trillions of dollars if need be. But we need these markets functioning because if the credit markets shut, everything's done. Big shift. They met on Thursday. The Treasury announces some stuff on Friday morning that, frankly, you know, nobody understands. Well, they're going to do the repurchase, buyback, blah, 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 blah. Nobody knows what they're talking about. Nobody cares. Okay, sounds like really gibberish. Gibberish that means the credit markets are open. No matter what, they're open. Is that just a feel-good thing from the Treasury? Is that maybe what the bankers said? What do you think the airline industry needs? They were there talking about it. The tech heads were there talking about it. This is a president that is engaged and with what is going on. I want the best information. What do you need from us? What can you tell me? What can you tell us so we can do a better job? That changed. Markets can panic all they want, but underneath the fundamentals, this is also what is shifting. The testing capacity, which again, government just simply proves how perfectly true it is, they can't do anything right. They can't do anything well. Government is government. They've got people that, well, basically, sorry, I don't mean to be mean, but they don't move very fast. They're not very creative. Private industry is. So what did this administration do? We can't get the test kits out. As Fauci, or whatever his name is, if I said that wrong, sorry, said, we failed on this test kit thing. So what did they do before the week is out? They turn and they go, how about private industry making this? Boom, guess what? We've got 400,000 test kits, just heard it on the news, didn't we? That's not enough, I know. And now we're hearing that I just got a bulletin that by next week we're going to have companies that are making these. I'm sorry, I think it's Roche that has a test that they can make like 100,000 of them a day. It's crazy. It's a huge number. We'll be overrun with them. Why? Because they pivoted and said, okay, if you guys over here at whatever government agency can't figure out test kits, can't make them, let's go ahead and make shift and let's go take the pharmaceutical industry was there too. You don't think they had discussions about test kits with the entire pharmaceutical, medical community there? The heads of it? This is a big shift. This is so important. They're more moving at light speed. It's absolutely astounding. This didn't work, then fix it now. No excuses, just get it done. Amazing. To me, that was a huge shift. The testing capacity is about to be, we'll have more kits just laying around. It's on the way. The other thing, and this was Jim in the last hour, touched on this too. The recoveries around the world are unbelievable. Okay, I hit this on, you maybe heard when Kevin and I were talking. Talked about this on Monday. We just replayed it in the first half hour today, and maybe you heard it. But what we talked about was the fact that there are not 100,000 cases active cases out there. Now, there might be because we haven't tested, right? I get it. But the statistics are the same. There's less than 50,000 active cases. Because 60,000 people have gotten better. And or died. Not the greatest outcome, but the recoveries are more. Now, you may say, yeah, but we're about to explode higher and have all these others. I get it. But couldn't you also equally argue that a lot of the folks that were never really diagnosed are also better? Huh? The recoveries are outstripping the new cases. Not everywhere, not in Seattle, not in here. I get that. Not in Italy. Not today, but next week. South Korea, it's true. Japan, it's true. It obviously appears to be true in China, even as the factories are back to work to kind of prove that maybe they're not all sick. Interesting. We have the best healthcare system in the world, by far. And all it is really showing, too, for those of you like me, worried about my kids who don't get it, because they're not sick, but they have sick kids all the time, and I still don't know why they don't get it. But government-run health care is such a bad idea. That's why it really sucks to get sick anywhere except in the United States. We got the best health care, and it's becoming like laser-focused at how bad government is at everything. And we don't want to hand it over to them to make it worse. What would this be like? Can you imagine what this would be like if we had government-run healthcare like everywhere else in the world, right? Why are they running into so much trouble in Britain? Because they have rationed healthcare. Because by definition, when you have government-run, free, however you want to say it, healthcare, it's rationed. That's why people that have a gallbladder problem that isn't going to kill them lay in bed for months to get a surgery. It's rationed. And it's coming into laser focus. But let's not forget what we're seeing happen here. This is unbelievable how many billions of dollars are being spent by our pharmaceutical, medical device, testing companies to find a cure, to pump out the tests, to get more information out. It's unbelievable. Only here. This isn't going to kill us at all. I just don't believe it. I can't believe it. And I'm not trying to be Pollyannish about it. It makes no sense. In places where they don't even wash their hands, it just went away. We're learning a lot about this. But what I do know is this. It never pays to panic. Never. And pulling money out at the price levels we saw the middle of last week makes no sense. You might be right for a day, but you are not going to get the bottom, which is somewhere. And you can't guess it. I mean, the people that kind of look back and go, yeah, I knew this and did this in 08, and I saw that happening, and I grooved, and they never got back in. To win at the easiest thing in the world, you have to be in. Look, the stock market has made everybody who's in it rich. Everyone. As we define by financial independence, you get to do what you want to do. You can live out your life. If you have enough time to let it grow, a cup of coffee a day, $5 a day for 40 years in the S&P 500, in spite of 9/11, in spite of 2008, in spite of the coronavirus, in spite of all the market crashes, mini crashes, bear markets, is over $1 million. Capitalism is amazing. And maybe this is the year, this is the wake-up call where we sit down and we go, really? Government is the solution to what? To ruining everything. We've got the most dynamic economy in the world. If your restaurant isn't doing well, too bad. Somebody's going to come out and make another restaurant right where it is. Went and had a great meal last night. I can't think of it. It was just fun. And the place is hopping. Ran into a friend, and he said they come all the time. It was, and they took over for Piper Pub. I mean, it's the same location. Piper Pub, great location, great business for a lot of years, just got stale and old and died. What happens with capitalism? Creative destruction. Now there's a vibrant, new, exciting place. It's what happens. It's what happens, and we're all the benefactors of it. But we want more government? I think this is the year, right? And we're watching it right now. These are private market cooperation with government, yes, but private, that's what changed this week. All of the private industry just went out and got, let's get this thing done. Not, let's send a memo, let's have some meetings, then we'll have some more meetings about a planning meeting, and then we'll get to a meeting, and then 6 months from now, they'll go, wow, this is a national crisis. There's over 10,000 people have died. Maybe we should do something. It's done. I want a virus. Okay, we can't have that. We're not going to have a shot because we're not going to watch people die trying to figure out if this really is going to save their life. But how about therapies? Fast. This is unbelievable because we are absolutely, this administration, unbelievably, and I will get credit for this somewhere, somehow, has marshaled the private industry. And they are running at light speed. This is going to go fast, in my opinion. But most importantly, what happened this week, they got behind the credit markets. You know it, you felt it, you smelled it on Friday. There's going to be plenty of money available out of the Treasury and from bankers. They're not going to run out of money. We're not going to have a financial crisis like 2008. And I'll bet you a dollar to a donut. Well, I guess a donut probably costs that much now. That we are not going to be having any kind of financial crisis. Just not. Just not. It's impressive, impressive group of meetings nobody talks about. Only we can't get enough test kits. Why? Because the FDA is just, they're the FDA, it's the government. It's the government. But we got them now, and they're coming fast. All right, I got to take a quick break. So, Terry, please hang on, and our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Sorry to interrupt that music, but I guess we're here not to just talk about it. That's, I can't remember the name of that song, but it's a great song. All right, anyway, you're listening to Money Matters. I'm Dave Petzo, and our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's also Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. Not .com, .net. .com is our website. It's PetzoFinancial.com. And also, we've got podcasts and articles and calculators there to help you with your own financial planning. But if you miss something, or I know we have some people that are forward on to their kids or what have you, our podcasts are out there, and that's so if you got a panicky person you want them to at least have another look at or listen to, those are our podcasts, and they're out there as well. I think it's under the media tab on our website at PetzoFinancial.com. Also, you please let us know what you're thinking and so on. And thank you, Pamela, for calling in and your nice comment. I appreciate that. That's very nice. Let's go to Terry. Terry, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, Professor. You're nailing it today.
Well, thank you. You never know. I'm fired up. I don't know what happened. I slept really good last night. Big surprise after a week like this. Man, I was exhausted last night. I really was. I could barely stay awake for the comedians, but made it.
Anyway, I have trouble getting my question together because I keep listening to you and you keep adding more and more and more to what I want to ask. But
well, good. It's all right. It'll come to you.
We had basic question was on disruptors. Hayek's creative destruction theory and rearranging resources or reallocating resources. How far does this the entertainment industry, the cruise lines, the airlines go downhill before it seizes up?
Great question. I don't know. It depends how quickly we all get back on the cruise ships, right? We go back to Disneyland.
Oh,
I was actually.
I'm not going out on a cruise ship with 5,000 of my closest friends and neighbors sneezing on me. I'm sorry.
I understand. And a lot of people felt that way before, right?
Yeah.
But once we get a handle on this virus, and we will, then the question is how soon will people be willing to do it and at what price level? So if they can sustain for a while, and I think their balance sheets are pretty good by and large. They're going to have some clear cut. They've already had one airline shut down, right? It's like they were on the verge anyway.
Right.
But you will also see, I have no doubt about it, that this is one of those things that's perfect for government to step in and make, you know, low or no interest loans, like student loan interest is waived for right now, or student loan payments, that kind of stuff. That's just smart. Let's just keep everybody financially healthy, and so the economy can pick up right where we left off as quick as possible. And so I think that's not a bailout. That's absurd. But making things that we are not just talking about, like why wipe out the whole industry? What's going to be in its place? If something comes technologically that says, hey, let's just do this, I don't know, virtually, and it feels so real that why not just stay on the dock and you can have your own little safe bubble, not being with 5,000 of your best friends. It's, you know, all those things that we don't know, but that's an honest disruptor, not a virus from nowhere wipes them out, and that's the way the free market is. It doesn't really work that way, because what happens is if you screw up and you go bankrupt, then all those bondholders take over your company and they own all the equipment. They lent you money, you screwed it up, didn't make your payments, we're taking your stuff. And then they'll restart. It's like United Airlines, twice bankrupt, Delta, twice bankrupt, right? So the American Airlines might have been three times, right? I think Southwest is the only one that's never declared bankruptcy. So it's one of those things that was a very difficult industry. They'll be back because their balance sheets are different than they were. And sometimes, though, those airplanes will be put back in service, paint them a new color, call it a new airline, and then we're off and going again. And you get a better, then maybe you get better service. Maybe it's a better balance sheet, cheaper cost. I don't know. What I do know is the average person can fly. And when I was a child, that absolutely was not true. You had to be wealthy.
And I've got one more fairly morbid sideline question.
Okay.
Does the COVID-19, the virus, the panic, military adage, panic early, avoid the rush, but does it save the Social Security Trust Fund time?
Yeah, of course it does. Of course
Sorry,
it does. Yeah, no, I know.
That.
No, it's it absolutely does. It sounds terrible, so I'm going to say it anyway, right? Because
yeah,
we all have the same thing. Look, nobody I've ever met, and certainly I don't, want to be not knowing who I am in a nursing home,
right?
For 5 years or 10 years, right? My grandma needed some help. That's called assisted living. But when she went to the nursing home, she didn't know who she was anymore.
Right.
And she was afraid of everything. And that's just sad. It was sad. You know, we go see her, but what are we seeing? Right?
Right.
And it's a sad thing. And in the old days, this didn't happen because people died of pneumonia.
Right.
And now we keep people alive.
You died at home with your family.
You did. And you died earlier before all these things. You know what I'm saying. And I don't know. So yes, of course, this is not, we got to stop this. And we're not saying, oh, good, it's cleaning out the nursing homes. That's not at all what I'm saying. But you're asking a question about what any kind of illness, when it hits older people that are particularly in a nursing home setting, then this is absolutely true. It does less tax the healthcare system, without question.
Yeah, like I keep telling the boy, it's just saving you my diaper years.
Right. Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the things I think is that one of the greatest blessings, of course, I talk about the technological improvement, all the healthcare things that are coming, all the medicines and all. I talk about it all the time. It is it's off the charts, and it's so exciting to me. But I just don't think 10 years from now, we're going to have people getting Alzheimer's. It's just, they're just so close. I know it's a really, it's got to be a hard one because I've said this for a couple of years now. They're so close, though, to turning and bending that curve, hopefully before I start to lose my mind because it's softening up already. I can feel it.
Yeah, it's early onset senile dementia, but we won't talk about that.
There you go.
But I keep telling the girlfriend 100 years ago we would have been dead. So
yeah,
enjoy it.
Exactly, exactly. All right.
And thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Terry. Got to run. Have a
all
great
right,
day.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. And our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's dave@petsofinancial.net. We got to take a break for Fox News. I don't know. We're not getting any Fox News, so maybe we're just going to take a break. We'll see. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. All right, if you tried to ring in earlier, guess what? The phone lines are open and nobody's there. So feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you at 580-KIDO. dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, we've got we're a little behind, so let me share something that just came in. Literally are some photos from Winco this morning. Right now, actually. So my daughter was over there shopping. And there literally are empty shelves. Not just the toilet paper rack, empty shelves. It's insane. It's kind of one of those things where, as I've said before, and I don't want, everybody has their foibles. I do. I've got things that I grind on and think about that I shouldn't spend so much time grinding or thinking about, right? You do, I do, we do, okay? But for people who are prone to panic, I just don't think it's a good idea to go, yeah, it's okay. Go ahead. Why don't you buy more canned corn than you could use in a lifetime? I think it's a great idea because it feeds it, right? It's like the heroin addict that feels way better after you give him a shot than before. It doesn't mean anybody would go, you know what? I think it's a great idea to go out there and take a shot because you'll feel better. Nobody thinks that. I mean, nobody thinks that. So I'm very, very sad that people are doing that. I'm sad for them. I can't help it. And I don't think we should encourage it. It's not okay to feed that. It's just not. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Let's go to Basil. Basil, how you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard you talking about Winco and things. So you take a look at the 10-year Treasury bond. You now need to put zero in front of decimal point to get the interest rate, right?
Yep, yep.
And so Basil has a recommendation, investment recommendation, very small recommendation, is when the stocks, the shelves are restocked, go buy toilet paper instead of a 10-year Treasury bond.
Yeah.
Now, you will not get rich. If he impacts the impeller, at least you will be prepared.
That's good. That's good. I don't have enough room in my house. I mean, for to try to hoard everything, it just is. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know what the whole deal with toilet paper is. But you're right. There'll be a lot of toilet paper sales because people have so much toilet paper that once they restock the shelves, they won't sell any.
Well, that is good. You know, we really owe thanks to the preppers and the Mormons because many months ago, they bought everything they needed when everybody is panicking at Winco and Costco and Walmart. They're staying home. So they are doing everybody else a favor. We really need these people. They are doing us a favor.
I hear you. You know, I was going to swing by Costco and, you know, just because we've got a little few things to shop for, right? I don't think I'm going to go because I just don't want to face the hordes. It's just ridiculous. It's like, I saw the line in Boise before the store opened sometime this week. I just don't get it. I just do not get it, and I won't. I don't think. I've read some interesting articles in the Wall Street Journal about families that are struggling with each other because one is wanting to hoard and the other's like, stop it. What's going on? And so it's very interesting to me. This is very, very different. Very different.
Yes, I think with these this madness going on at the various stores, it has whole new meaning to recommending social distancing. Yes, stay home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It is. And you know, you're right, you're right. Yeah, we're going to go shop at the golf store and probably Lowe's today, right?
Just okay.
Got to stay away. Got to stay away. All right. Thanks a lot, Basil.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Robert, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I drive for a living, people to doctor's appointments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I always use a lot of sanitary wipes and things to keep myself and my passengers safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you can't get any anymore.
Right.
Albertson's told me that they can't get them anymore because they're only being shipped to hospitals and doctor's offices anymore, along with the solutions. But I stopped by Winco here 10 minutes ago just to see if there was a chance. And, of course, the parking lot was completely full, and all the shopping carts are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other gentleman said, they are literally, you know, empty shelves everywhere. But the thing that amused me was the line of people waiting to get to the cashiers. It literally goes all the way to the back of the store. You turn right, it goes all the way to the back wall and around the store. I mean, people are going to be waiting literally for hours just to check out.
Unbelievable. It is.
And
it's just,
you know, I have most of what I need. And so, I mean, man, I won't go. I went to the store mostly just to see what was going to happen today. And it is unbelievable. We've always been told that if we couldn't get shipments, that the shelves would be empty, you know, in less than a day and a half. And boy, you can sure see it. I mean, people really are panicking.
They really are. Yeah. And I'm very sad for that, because it obviously has repercussions for the whole economy. And, you know, it's not a big deal, I suppose, that people buy too much toilet paper, but it creates a panic out there in general. I was very happy to see the restaurant I was at last night. I was happy to see the little comedy club. It wasn't packed. It wasn't packed, but the headliner wasn't there either. So I kind of, you know, there's still activity, and that's good. We're not panicked here yet. And that part feels good to me, because the local businesses, the small business, is the one that really suffers. And I just have to pause and just, again, to all small business owners out there, hats off, because they're the brave, they're the employers, they're people that throw deep, they work harder than anybody else does. Everybody thinks they want to be the boss. And then when you find out, that means 70 hours a week, and some nights you don't sleep. And you've risked your house, your savings, your everything. Suddenly it isn't so dargone bad to work for somebody else, you know? And so everybody wants to be the man. They just don't want to do what the man has to do to be the man.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And it's just one of those, I just, it's a great thing out there. And I would really just say to people, go out to eat.
One more thing I wanted to add is all the way through the front of the store, there are shopping carts about half full of canned goods and all kinds of things. And the store has not had time to put stuff back on the shelves, so they're just leaving it in the carts and have signs on them. You may shop from these carts. There must be 40 or 50 carts out there that are that way.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got to run. I've got to pass.
And we do too, Robert. You have a good day. Thanks for the call.
You too.
Bye now. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We got to take our final break. Yes? Okay. We're out of here for 1-2 minutes or so. Please do give us a call. All the lines are open. Hello, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. All right, we've got to answer some. Oh, and I forgot, Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. All right, let's go ahead and go to some emails here. We have one confirmed case. One. Can you imagine the irrational behavior if that number rises to 50? Huh. Ken, thanks for the comment. That is a good point. We are going to have 50, and I think that's what people are hope, Ken. We are going to have 50. It just appears we will, and probably people are going to be fine, by and large, unless they are very old or have compromising situations. In other words, the flu very likely could take them. I don't want to compare this to the flu. It appears to be slightly more deadly. It's different, and so on and so forth. But the point is we do not stop life itself, nor empty the supermarkets because the flu is coming. And half the population won't even get a shot for it. And they're free. By the way, it doesn't even hurt. Incredible. And they're getting more and more effective, by the way. And either way, okay, so anyway, I'm just borrowing and pretending to be a doctor. Anyway, it lessens the severity of it, right? Okay. Ken, thank you. Great comment. That's true. I'm hoping that's what people are doing. Dave, I saw so many screaming buys on Friday, I had to unload and get a few of them. Good. I did too. But I also saw them on Wednesday and Thursday, okay? So admitting that, yeah, okay, so some of them on Thursday got the bottom, I guess, right? But we're still down so far, so fast, that it is something that we think about when you look at it and go, you mean I can still get Microsoft $40 off of where it was a month ago? Uh-huh. One of the greatest companies in the world. Apple, you mean I can still get that down $100 from its high? Uh-huh. Google, Amazon. Facebook's a little different, right? I mean, it's a little more dicey because, you know, they don't like to play well, and they pretend they were going to play well, and then they don't, so they get fined. And someday, they may take them out and shoot them, actually cause them some real harm. So it's different. But what I'm saying is, and great comment, by the way, is that we do see some great, unbelievable opportunities. So when people say, well, should we buy? Should we wait? What are you waiting for? Nibble. You don't have to go all in, but you need to be buying. And here's the neatest thing in the whole world. And I know we have the greatest clients, the smartest people in the world, and they listen. That's, by the way, what makes them so doggone smart, right? They don't know everything. Don't feel like they have to know everything. But they listen and they behave. And they sit on their hands when there's a crisis. They don't run around. But anyway, the point is that by a margin of probably 3 or 4 to 1, people are calling to say, how's it going? All right, I'm going to round up $10,000. You know, they may have $2 million in an account. But the point is this. On the margin, this is what I want to do. One of our largest accounts said, take my income down a little bit and reinvest like you talked about on that one account. Why? Because on the margin, it might be for 2 months. But on the margin, that's the activity that matters. It changes the way we act about everything. We're not being reactive. We're being active. This is what happened. Now let's get aggressive into that. Right? These are bargains. Let's move. Well, I have most of my money is in the market. I get it. It doesn't matter. If you can cut back here, have a little less coming out, it makes all of the difference if you're in retirement. If you have, and I don't mean you just like stop it and stop living. You just say, hey, we just had to cancel all these trips anyway, you know, so let's take out $1,000 less a month for a while. All of that is how you should react. Not emptying the stores. Different ball game. Different ball game. Anyway, I'm so proud of everybody. I wanted to say that earlier. I just forgot. I just am so proud. Because how people have acted, our clients have acted in this is unbelievable. hey, you know, here's $5,000. Guy just forward funded his little Roth IRA with $3,000. That's the great behavior. He's like, I'm working. I got money coming in. Instead of doing it every month, I'm going to put it in now. You know, I want to get that all done. Fund the year. I want to do this. You know, it's just wonderful. Yes, of course it can go lower. Here's what I know. The great corporations in the world, the greatest, all the innovators, the creators, the people, that the companies that make everybody rich. Like I said, let's just not lose sight of this. Whoever has participated in the U.S. stock market for any period of time has gotten rich. All of them, if you behave. You want to freak out? Buy and sell? Wait till something falls 25% and then sell it? It isn't going to go well. And for those that think, I just want to move to the side for a little while, what is going to be the signal from God that it's at the bottom? When we left Thursday, the market was already trading down. You look at the futures at night. Futures for the next day, down. Asia's down. Europe's down. Don't look at your phone is what I told myself when I went to bed. Do not. You get up and, you know, hey, I'm of an age. I got to get up once a night, right? Okay? So I get up at 3. Don't look. Don't look. But what did the market do on Friday? Overnight changed. On what? A bunch of gibberish that nobody knows anything about. The Treasury's blah, 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 blah. This one mattered. The White House's response. Bring everything. Have a good day.